But we have a new Congress. It is the 112th. Something has changed, though, if you look back to the past decades. Today, most members of Congress on their own way to D.C., but they'll leave their families at home in whatever state they come from, their spouses and their kids. Michelle Obama, for example, stayed in Chicago when her husband became a senator. And in an article this week, Newsweek reporter Lisa Miller says there are no more Washington wives. You can expand that to spouses if you want. And that's a loss, not just for the American people, but for the entire political process. She joins us now to talk about bipartisanship and families in Washington. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Also with us, a former Washington wife, Sandy Nolenberg, the wife of Joe Nolenberg, a 16-year Michigan congressman. And Sandy, I understand you were a member of the Social Club for Congressmen's Wives. She joins us from Bloomfield Hills. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning.
Well, Sandy, first of all, can you kind of give us the atmosphere when you were in Washington as a congressman's wife? What was your daily life like, and how did you participate, and how much did your husband participate with you?
I was very fortunate because my children were grown, so I was able to go back and forth with Joe every week. We left on Monday, came home on Thursday or Friday, depending on the schedule of Congress. And so I became very enmeshed with the congressional spouses, both Republican and Democrat, in all kinds of activities and ways, and found it extremely rewarding and very helpful to Joe. Lots of times I would know a spouse and he would not know the member, and we'd see them on the street. I would introduce them, we would chat, and then they would become better acquainted and somewhat friends. And so the rancor between the Republicans and the Democrats with people like me was less than it is today with the spouses not ever being there.
Did you ever find yourself saying to your husband, chill out, we're going to have dinner with those guys on Thursday this week?
Well, not exactly that way, but yes, in some ways, you know, I would know him and I would talk about the spouse, and he would then get to know the husband as a result of my knowing the spouse. And I shouldn't say husband, I should say it could be male or female.
Sure.
We had men spouses as well as female spouses.
Lisa, when did this trend start to leave the family at home?
Well, it's sort of a two-part trend. The first was when the women's movement happened and women just started working.
They had their own jobs.
They had their own lives and their own jobs. And, you know, Marion Javits in the 50s famously said to her husband, you know, I'm staying here in New York. I like New York better. I'm going to raise the kids here. You go on.
And even going way farther back than that, I mean, families didn't typically make the arduous journey to Washington.
Well, in the earliest days of Congress, families stayed home. You're right. You know, and they stayed home on the farms. Most
Andrew
legislators...
Jackson used to write letters. That's
right.
What we know about him.
But
so many letters to his wife.
But after the Civil War, Washington became a really hot and glamorous place to live. And as you say, travel was difficult. And so people tended to move with their families to Washington and become part of that community. Part of that establishment. That's where you have all of those big fancy houses in Washington, and then the generation of the Washington Society entertainer dinner party. That was all, you know, very much popular in the mid-century. And then in 1994, when Newt Gingrich became the Speaker of the House, he really made a political issue of the family staying at home. He made a distinction between insiders and outsiders, and he said, you know, you don't want to be an insider, you want to be an outsider, and keeping your family at home and traveling back to the district is the way to do that. And so that's when commuting, and also because of air travel, that's when commuting became very popular. This Congress is sort of amping that up even more.
And your reporting supports what Sandy Nolenberg just said, that you feel that the lack of presence of a family in Washington is part of what's contributing to the lack of bipartisanship on the job.
When you talk to senators, former senators, senators' spouses, they all say it. People have been in Washington for a long time. They say it makes a really big difference if you know somebody's kids, if your kids play on the same soccer team, if you know who's has a problem with alcohol, who's getting a divorce. It humanizes your opponents. And it may not change your vote necessarily, but it makes it much easier to talk to them.
Sandy, does it sometimes change a vote when you humanize your opponent, as Lisa Miller is saying?
I'm not sure if it changes the vote, but it makes the compromise between the Republicans and the Democrats a little more reasonable, a little more sensible, a little more gentlemanly or gentlewomanly, whichever way you have it. I was at the orientation when I heard Newt say, do not move to Washington. You know, stay home with your families and commute. You've got to raise money. You've got to be there all the time. I don't think that's true. I think that in some respects, you're not elected to be at the KFC lunch. You're not elected to go to the Kiwanis dinner. You're elected to do the work in Washington. You're a national employee. You're not a local employee. You're not the city mayor.
And keeping his family at home didn't exactly help Newt at all on his domestic front, did it?
No. I've known two of his wives now, so no.
Lisa
Although
Miller,
I love Newt.
Can I ask you, does it make a difference whether the spouse is male or female, whether the representative is a man or a woman?
Yes and no, or I should say no and yes. I mean, on the political front and on the commuter front, it doesn't make a difference. If one of the spouses is commuting all the time and has to be seen as an outsider and is always, as Mrs. Nuhlenberg says, you know, at the Kiwanis lunch, it doesn't matter the gender of the legislator. On the other hand, there is this theory out there, and I do subscribe to it, that women talk to each other in a different way.
And probably more often.
And more often. And so that sort of intimate exchange of family details happens among women. And when the women are absent and the kids are absent, then you don't get that kind of social glue that happens when families live together.
There's a great story. You know, Sam Rayburn, Speaker of the House, had no life in Washington. And it was LBJ and Lady Bird and the bond between Sam and Lady Bird that really softened Sam Rayburn.
Lady Bird is a perfect example of what we're talking about here. I mean, she had really enduring friendships with all kinds of people. I talked to this First Lady's historian who said that her friendship with Betty Ford really helped smooth the way between Jerry Ford and her husband.
Before he was president.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
exactly.
Right. And that was an acrimonious relationship.
Story.
Yeah.
Well, it's a great article from Lisa Miller, a writer at Newsweek and a senior editor there as well, talking about not just wives, but husbands as well, families in Washington and what they contribute to bipartisanship. And thanks so much to Sandy Nuhlenberg, wife of Joe Nuhlenberg, a 16-year member of the House of Representatives coming from Michigan and a former member of the Social Club for Congressmen's Wives. Thanks, Sandy.
You're very welcome.
And thanks, Lisa.
Thanks.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.